Good evening and welcome to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. I want to thank you for joining me this evening. And for those who are listening in for the first time, my name is Sonia Jewell and I'm a natural therapeutic specialist and massage therapist at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center right here in Ely. And I have been a health practitioner for 19 years and it is my pleasure to be with you every Wednesday evening during this hour to talk about various health topics, nutrition, and safe and natural alternatives, as well as healthier lifestyle choices. Now, last week I shared information with you from a book by Mary Frost, which is titled Going Back to the Basics of Human Health. And this book clearly helps us understand what happened to our food supply and why we are dealing with so many health issues. And I quoted some information from this book pertaining to the harm that is done to our food before it even gets to us, such as the depletion and demineralization of the soil, the contamination of produce by excessive use of pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, and the chemicalization of food through overprocessing, enriching, and preserving. And as Mary Frost outlined in the book, it was continual FDA enforcement in one form or another that made it possible for all the chemical-laced foods to be on the shelf today. So today I would like to continue with this topic by reading some of the information to you from the last few chapters. And one of her chapters is titled Water, a Vehicle for Drugs. And I would like to read the following paragraph to you. Quote, in 1928, Dr. Royal Lee wrote a paper in which he showed that tooth decay was greatest by far in children who had such poor nutrition that the resistance was lowered not only to tooth decay, but also to all other diseases of childhood. Dr. Weston Price later proved this link in his landmark work in the book Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. But in 1951, the Public Health Service urged that fluoride be added to America's drinking water in order to prevent cavities. And this set us off on a faulty track, looking away from malnutrition as the real cause. The historical root of the Public Health Service's decision was traced back to a problem aluminum manufacturers began having in the early 1930s. It seems that a byproduct of the smelting process, so-called sodium fluoride, was nearly impossible to get rid of. It couldn't be dumped in the ground because it caused serious contamination of grasses used for animal feed. And when it was dumped in water, fish hatcheries were ruined and they sued aluminum manufacturers and won. An epidemic of lawsuits ensued. So what to do? Finally, money was poured into a research program with the sole intent of creating a series of favorable scientific reports to convince communities and the court that small amounts of fluoride are not harmful to man. Back in 1939, one scientist went one step further, claiming that humans needed fluoride for tooth formation, and it should be added to water supplies as a means of reducing tooth decay. The naturally occurring form of fluoride found in mineral-rich well water, so-called calcium fluoride, was supposedly too costly to be used for this public so-called health purpose. So guess what? Sodium fluoride became the source for the fluoride added to municipal drinking water. This started out as a 10-year experiment, but thanks to heavy lobbying, was left in place for decades. We need to become aware that we have allowed industries to promote the notion that fluoride prevents tooth decay in order to sell their toxic waste to our municipal water districts. Many groups like the Fluoride Action Network and Citizens for Safe Drinking Water have warned us against long-term side effects. For one, it depresses the thyroid. Insufficient thyroid hormones cause all bodily functions to slow down. And the symptoms of hypothyroidism are subtle and gradual and may be mistaken for depression. Sweden refused to fluoridate their water, and so did France. Our water is being fluoridated against the best scientific advice in the world. It is up to us as individuals to protect our health against this toxic substance and to drink purified water. Unquote. Now let's take a short break with music from today's feature CD. And the CD I chose for today is by Steve McPeters and is titled Untraveled Road. And I'll be back shortly with some more information for you from this book. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Now today I will continue quoting information from the last few chapters of the book titled Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost. And I shared information with you in regards to the fluoridation of our water. Now the next chapter is titled Synthetic Vitamins versus Food. And Mary Frost quotes, The FDA has claimed for years that foods are not therapeutic, meaning having healing qualities. The early nutritional pioneers, on the other hand, believed that whole foods were the only foundation for optimum health and, as such, were also the main foundation for a return to health. I agree with them. However, the dismissal of the therapeutic value of whole foods made it possible for the FDA and our lawmakers to support the commercial food industry, whose sales today total more than $500 billion. It is no wonder that we are left with a health crisis that is out of control. Attempting to help themselves, most people run to the drugstore or health food store and grab some synthetic vitamins off the shelf, which just compounds the health problems. When vitamins were first discovered, they were discovered in foods. In fact, in the studies that showed that vitamins really do work, a food source nutrient was used. In the studies showing that vitamins don't work, a synthetic was always used. Since food nutrients tend to vary, they were difficult for an agency like the FDA to control. But synthetically isolated vitamins were easy to standardize and control. The measurements of micrograms as standards of effectiveness were based on animal tests using isolated vitamin fractions and not foods. Over the last 60 years, conventional medicine has evolved in a tight-knit profession that largely ignores the nutrient quality of our foods. The early nutritionists understood that the synthetics or nutritionally dead foods were the main cause of disease through cellular malnutrition. The problem is that medical schools in this country are now standardized. In 1991, only 22 out of the entire 127 accredited medical schools in the U.S. required a single course in nutrition, which only 5% of the medical students actually took. So doctors have no expertise in nutrition. From World War II onward, nutritional information has been based on research studies funded by the interests of the pharmaceutical companies, which, and this may really surprise you, are the manufacturers of all synthetic vitamins. Merck and Hoffmann La Roche produce the vitamin fractions used in virtually all nutritional supplements, whether found in a drugstore or health food store. Most synthetic vitamins can be produced for pennies, and the profits are immense. Whole food complexes are just not as profitable. Established medicine has based itself around the use of a large number of chemical substances, which appears to bring relief from specific symptoms, and synthetic vitamins, which have drug-like effects, are the vitamins accepted by the majority of the medical profession, when vitamins are accepted at all. So why are natural complexes so important? And Mary Frost quotes, "Vitamins are groups of chemically related compounds. In the case of vitamin C, there's a single part identified as the organic nutrient, like for example ascorbic acid as vitamin C. But there are enzymes, coenzymes, trace minerals, and other unknown factors that enable the vitamin to go into biochemical operation. In other words, ascorbic acid is only a part of the vitamin C complex. With foods and food concentrates, meaning containing whole nutritional complexes, the body can choose its needs for assimilation and excrete what it doesn't need. This is called selective absorption. On the other hand, with fractioned or isolated and/or synthetic vitamins, there is no choice. The body must handle the chemical imbalances and toxic overdose. Synthetics disrupt normal biochemistry, and the body does know the difference between natural and synthetic vitamins. They can be very harmful. Furthermore, the scientific studies substituted dead synthetic vitamins for whole food complexes and then go on to ignore the human element by substituting rats. Rats are scavengers. Humans are not. The physiological makeup of lower animals enables them to eat, digest, and utilize foods and rubbish that we cannot. For example, a person starts taking ascorbic acid. And if he or she has sufficient reserves of the other missing components of the C-complex to recombine and process the intake of pure ascorbic acid, that person will experience some improvement for a time. However, when these reserves are drained, the ascorbic acid will no longer benefit the person and will actually cause harm. The body treats all synthetic vitamins as foreign substances, reacting to them like toxins. And these toxins are then processed and neutralized by the liver, which sends them to the kidneys for elimination. So how can we tell if a vitamin is synthetic versus natural? The named source of the vitamin is our best clue. If it actually lists a food source such as carrots or liver or fish oils, etc., in the example of vitamin A instead of acetate, retinol palmitate, or beta-carotene. Natural vitamins don't have a high milligram content because they are 10 to 50 times more potent in humans, unit for unit, than a synthetic complex. Synthetic vitamins are far cheaper to make and therefore dominate our foods. We are also used to seeing listings in high milligram potencies. But a high number of milligrams is also an indication of a synthetic source. So the reality is that a minute amount of a vitamin in its whole form is more effective nutritionally than a large amount of a synthetic one. An excellent illustration of this is the story involving a medical doctor held captive in a prisoner of war camp during the Korean War. Many of the prisoners showed signs of beriberi, which is a disease that results from a severe thiamine or a vitamin B1 deficiency. He notified the Red Cross and they sent him thiamine in synthetic form, which is actually a coal tar-based vitamin. The doctor gave that to his patients, but their health continued to deteriorate. Finally, the doctor's North Korean guards whispered to him that beriberi could be cured with rice polish, which is the nutritive outer layers of the rice that are removed when it is refined. He thought the suggestion was absurd, but he had nothing to lose, so he started giving his patients a teaspoon or more of rice polish every day. Within a short time, the beriberi epidemic ceased. There is only about one level teaspoon of thiamine in an entire ton or 2,000 pounds of unrefined whole rice. What a tribute to unrefined rice, an excellent example of the potency of whole foods. So make sure the vitamins you're taking are extracted from foods. Scientific research proves that this is best. Remember, thiamine comes from coal tar and is in all commercial breads. Synthetic vitamin B12 comes from activated sewage sludge, vitamin E from refined and heated oils, and synthetic vitamin D is concocted from irradiated oil. Unquote. Now, this is information read to you from the book Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost regarding the topic of synthetic vitamins versus whole food concentrates and supplements. Now, before we move on to the next chapter, let's take a short break with more music from our feature CD. And the CD is called Untraveled Road by Steve McPeters. And I'll be back shortly.
Sail away. They hold their light so high. For the world to see creation's majesty. Now the waters are so calm, but the storms will surely come. If the seas become rough, may I have enough trust. I got no maps, I got no plans. I'm 1,000 miles from land. But on and on I'll go to the freedom of my home.
Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia, and I will continue to share some of the final chapters with you from the book Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost. Quote, the commercial food industry has dominated America's eating habits for nearly 100 years. What most people don't realize is that it has taken a cumulative toll on us, weakening us from generation to generation. From the 1930s onward, the nutritional deficiencies these foods created began to alter our genes. Dr. Royal Lee was one of the first to recognize that overprocessed foods cause disease and genetically transmitted conditions. The monumental work of Dr. Weston Price captured the destruction of the health of primitive peoples around the world as soon as they began eating the foods the white man introduced, such as white flour products, polished rice, jams, vegetable oils, canned meats and vegetables, confections, and fruit. As soon as parents began to eat what Dr. Price called the foods of commerce, they passed along inferior genetic traits to the very next generation of offspring. First published in 1945, Dr. Price's book was initially required reading in medical and dental schools. Within a few years, this revealing book was pulled from the shelves and fell into obscurity. It was a wake-up call then, and is even more a wake-up call today. How many generations are we into the altered genetic transmission? There's a book that's called A Consumer's Dictionary of Food Additives by Ruth Winter, which covers over 12,000 additives, and the last edition was in 2004. Today, even if legislation were passed calling for removal of a pesticide, the pesticide companies have 5 years to begin to pull the designated pesticides from the marketplace. After that, they have up to 7 years to show that this pesticide isn't dangerous to our food supply. If the FDA did deem an additive to be poisonous, it would take several years to get it pulled from the marketplace. And Mary Frost also quotes, "Fat got to be blamed as the cause of all the heart attacks after World War II." Dr. Royal Lee pointed out in the 1940s talk to Naturopath that, quote, "It has been found by experiment that if cattle are fed on grain from which the germ has been removed, they will continue to gain in weight and appear to remain in perfect health. But before many months, they begin to drop dead from heart failure. There is no warning in their behavior, no apparent change in their health," unquote. Since practically all the grain and cereal products found in human diets are degerminated at the factory to keep out bug infestation, it is quite clear to any rational person why the incidence of heart disease has increased with the increase in the sale of such cereal products. Dr. Lee certainly explained why heart disease was labeled silent killer. But we need to remember that Dr. Lee's work was branded false and misleading by the FDA because it was inconsistent with the current consensus of medical opinion, pointing to fat as the art villain. With the public led to consume far more refined carbohydrates than ever before, the health of our nation is being ruined. And Mary Frost quotes regarding cholesterol. She quotes, "Cholesterol is essential for life. Only 7% of the body's cholesterol is found in the blood. The other 93% is located in every cell of the body, where its unique, waxy, soapy consistency provides the cell membranes with structural integrity and regulates the flow of nutrients into and waste products out of the cells. Cholesterol is the building block for all hormones and the major component of liver bile. Your brain and nerves require cholesterol for normal electrical transmission. Some cholesterol comes from food, but the body itself produces 80%, mostly by the liver. The main point here is that our cholesterol levels are actually regulated inside the trillions of cells that make up our bodies. If a cell needs more cholesterol, it sends LDL, or low-density lipoprotein receptors, to the surface in order to snatch cholesterol from the blood. LDL, also often depicted as the bad guy in the cholesterol drama, is the component of cholesterol that carries it to the cells. HDL, or high-density lipoprotein, gathers cholesterol from the tissues and carries it back to the liver to be disposed of. The flow one way or another is what medical researchers have used to quantify risk for heart disease. Excess insulin in the blood causes LDL levels to rise. Excess carbs cause excess insulin. Today, diabetes is widespread. More and more children are being diagnosed with it. This problem is being traced back to the huge consumption of sugary foods and carbohydrates that turn into sugar. A kid who consumes soft drinks, candy bars, cookies, and ice cream every day could end up consuming over 2 cups of pure sugar a day. At this rate of consumption, the blood sugar levels stay high all the time. The pancreas is constantly working. At some point, the metabolic gears begin to slip, and the cells in the body become insulin resistant. This means that the receptors inside the cells no longer respond adequately to insulin, and the pancreatic beta cells that produce the insulin have to put out ever-increasing amounts of insulin. Under constant overstimulation by the excess of glucose, the beta cells may finally give up and cease insulin production altogether. High blood sugar, or hyperglycemia, then become not only manifestations of diabetes, but a self-perpetuating cause of the disorder as well." Unquote. Now, before we continue, let's take a short break with more music, and I'll be back shortly with more information for you.
Untraveled road, where you're going,
I don't know, but I'll follow you. My heart, it tells me to. Sometimes it's hard, I've found, walking on unfamiliar ground. But I feel alive on you, untraveled road. Untraveled road. I can hear you calling me, and I come to you. Then you set me free. What a treasure I have found since I left that lonely town and started down you untraveled road. Could have gone on living the same way. As all the other people that I know. Hunger inside would never leave me. It kept taking me down untraveled road. Could have gone on living the same way. I've already been that way before. What is this feeling here inside of me? That keeps longing for something more. Untraveled road, my old friend. You lead inside of me. Won't you help me find it again? A deeper part of me. Thought my home was in that world, but I see it's not so. I found my home is an untraveled road. I found my home is an untraveled road.
And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Service, Sonia. And I have been quoting information to you from one of the very last chapters of the book titled Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost in regards to cholesterol and fats. And so she quotes, the only way to truly control insulin is with diet, and good fats play an important role in maintaining our health. Diet is the main way for all of us to exercise control over our health and create a sense of well-being. By eating high-protein meals and snacks, adding good unrefined oils to our diets, avoiding trans fats and cutting down on carbohydrates, we can do a lot to cut down on excess insulin and experience good health. Childhood asthma is on the rise, and few parents realize that the trans fats in the breads, cookies, cakes, and crackers that children consume on a daily basis can precipitate it. While the consumption of pizza and other fast foods is rampant in our schools, nearly 6 million children have been diagnosed with ADHD, a condition that has been consistently tied to the woozyness of hyperglycemia, the result of eating too many carbohydrates. Most people are unaware that partially hydrogenated oils or trans fats block the good fatty acids from entering the cells in our bodies. And with this comes a loss of calcium assimilation and persistent high blood sugar levels because insulin can't get into the cells either. One of the most common nutritional deficiencies in America today is a vitamin B complex deficiency. The symptoms of vitamin B complex deficiency are indigestion, weakness and fatigue, dizziness, forgetfulness, uneasiness, rage, anxiety, irregular heartbeat, depression, mental confusion, insomnia, and craving for sweets. Good whole foods is the most important element in our lives. Food is the source of the nutrients required by the human body to perform its many biochemical processes. Because nutritional deficiencies are normally not life-threatening at first and take time to manifest themselves as serious health problems, many people ignore the early warning signs that their bodies are giving them. Deteriorating joints, depression, and general lethargy are among these warning signs. All too often we dismiss them as being both normal and natural. Worse, we expect them. However, the root cause of all symptoms and disease are depleted foods, poor diet, and a sedentary lifestyle. These factors are then further impacted by the negative effect of too many carbohydrates. The long-term effects of inefficient sugar handling are poor digestion and impaired liver and gallbladder function, resulting in a disruption of the endocrine system. And this disruption stimulates multiple symptoms and problems. Sadly, we must add still another consideration to this picture: toxicity from heavy metals. The toll of decades of substandard foods being produced and consumed, weakening each successive generation. Massive amounts of herbicides, pesticides, and fungicides being applied to growing foods. And, to top it all off, literally thousands of untested food additives that are added to processed foods. All of these factors cause the breakdown of our immune system. Therefore, we now have autoimmune diseases we have never heard of before. Because this has happened over a span of time involving several generations, people have come to accept marginal health as the norm. The public has never been given access to accurate nutritional information. Instead, the processed food industry has been allowed to have its way, and television, with all its commercial sponsors, has served as the main source of nutritional information for the majority of us. Marketing to children has become the processed food industry's forte. Unquote. And now let's take another short break with music, and I will be back in a moment.
A flame, and it's burning here inside, consuming all the sorrow that has touched my life. And there was pain, there was longing. Now I see a flower grow in a barren field. I can feel my life within me, ever strong and ever true. That's where I find my shelter in all that. There's a change, there's a fresh wind from the sea. I feel a wave of beauty rise inside me.
can hear the voices calling from the farthest shore. Inside I feel the yearning for a home I've known
Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia, and I will continue quoting information from the final chapter of the book, Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost. And the final chapter addresses the topic of prescription drugs, and so she quotes, "Unfortunately, in today's healthcare model, there is no interest in prevention. The more people get sick and slowly deteriorate, the more money there is to be made. Is it any surprise that so many people find themselves taking several prescriptions a day? In fact, many of our elderly take in excess of a dozen prescriptions daily. We start out with a drug to take care of one symptom. This drug creates side effects that require another drug, and on it goes. As a result, every day more than 4,000 patients have adverse drug symptoms so serious that they need to be admitted to hospital. The media rarely makes mention of the 100,000 plus people who die each year from adverse drug reactions. Prescription drugs are the fourth leading cause of death in this country. All of us should have a copy of the book, Worst Pills, Best Pills, A Consumer Guide to Avoiding Drug-Induced Death or Illness. This book smoothly guides you through the maze of prescription drug side effects. True health practitioners are concerned about their patient's lifestyle and diet, which in most cases are the underlying cause of the health problems. Taking this approach is very different from following the traditional medical model, and it requires both action and willpower on the part of the patient. A nutrition exam consists of hands-on tests that were part of the training process every medical doctor received in the U.S. medical schools until the 1950s. Although most of these tests could be run and interpreted with accuracy within 5 minutes, their use was discontinued in favor of machines and new technology, many more times expensive and time-consuming to use. Medical schools train doctors exclusively in allopathic medicine and trauma care, and as a result, most doctors overlook prevention and health. So this was also quoted from the book Going Back to the Basics of Human Health. And now I want to go and read to you some of the action steps that Mary Frost lists here for you to take. The first action step is eat plenty of protein as much as you can. Eat meat free of antibiotics and hormones and organic eggs from free-range chickens. Organic eggs contain omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids in a beneficial ratio. Commercial eggs, on the other hand, contain up to 19 times more omega-6 than omega-3 fatty acids, making them a very unhealthy product. Also, look for raw milk and raw milk products. Pasteurized milk is relatively useless as a source of calcium because pasteurization destroys the enzymes that are necessary for the assimilation of calcium. Secondly, eat plenty of fresh vegetables, especially the green leafy ones, and a limited number of fruits. All of these should be eaten in the whole form and not juiced. Juices are sky high in carbs and sugar, and many contain high fructose corn syrup. Studies have shown that fructose bypasses your body's regulatory mechanism and causes insulin levels to rise. Limit carbohydrate consumption. Eat only whole grains. Make sure the produce you purchase is certified organic. In most cases, this produce contains from 90 to 250% more nutrients than commercial produce and a lot fewer pesticides. Third, water. Drink a minimum of 6 to 8 glasses a day. Avoid tap water and drink purified water instead. Number 4, exercise. Number 5, consume 1 to 3 teaspoons a day of raw olive oil, fresh fish oil, or flaxseed oil. Be sure to use butter too. Number 6, take adequate amounts of all important vitamins and minerals daily in the form of whole food supplements. So this concludes the book, Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost, and I hope you find the information interesting and helpful to improve your health. And it is almost time to wrap up today's show, but before we do that, let's take another break with music, and I'll be back shortly to highlight the food of the week.
There will come a day when I must lay this body down, but I'll never lose all the beauty I have found. I cried in the night, a heart that longed for love and light, or maybe someone just to say that it's all right. Now these days pass by so quickly, and I know that I must try to realize a feeling that awakens here inside. I'll let it all go, feel this love I have come to know. Loneliness fades, I can barely hear the sound it makes. I'll tell all these wounds goodbye, there's no time left to cry. It's so good just to be alive and watch this train go rolling. Once this moment's gone, it's not coming back. Cause time's like a train, it keeps rolling down the tracks. And what lies ahead is a mystery unfolding, but I know each breath just gives me a chance to be a part of this romance. And tell all these wounds goodbye, there's no time left to cry. It's so good just to be alive and watch this train go rolling by. Lay this this body down, but I'll never lose all the beauty I found.
Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia, and it is time to wrap up today's show with the food of the week, and for this week I chose pomegranates. Pomegranates are now being featured as one of the hot new superfoods that both tastes good and is good for you. Nutritional research confirms that pomegranates contain many valuable minerals plus phytonutrients that help the body protect against heart disease, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, and cancer. The powerful antioxidants in the fruit also help retard aging and can neutralize almost twice as many free radicals as red wine and seven times as many as green tea. Pomegranates are also high in vitamin C. For example, one pomegranate provides about 40% of the daily requirement of this vitamin. And in test tubes, pomegranate extracts made from juice, rind, and oil slow down the reproduction of cancer cells. Some extracts also help reduce blood supply to tumors by starving them and reducing their size. Most studies have focused on breast and prostate cancer cells. And in one human study, men who had surgery or radiation for prostate cancer significantly increased the amount of time it took for their PSA level to double by drinking 8 ounces of pomegranate juice each day. Now, men whose PSA levels double in a short period of time are more at risk for death from prostate cancer. So those who drank pomegranate juice increased doubling times from about 15 months to 54 months, which is a very significant increase. Pomegranate grows as a multi-stemmed shrub or large tree and is native to Iran and is cultivated in the Mediterranean, Asia, Africa, and Europe. And in the U.S., they are only grown in California. The fruit has very leathery skin and looks like an apple, is shaped like an apple, and it's usually deep pink or red. And the inside of the fruit has white spongy tissue that creates spaces filled with sacs of seeds, which are bursting with flavor. And you can enjoy these seeds by themselves, or you can toss them on salads or sweet dishes, or use them as a brightly colored garnish. And these delicious fruits are only available from September through January. So to prepare the pomegranate fruit, it is best to cut the crown, and then you cut the fruit into sections. And you should place the sections in a bowl of water, and then you roll out the juice sacs or seeds with your fingers, and you discard everything else. And then you strain out the water and enjoy these wonderful brightly colored seeds. There's only one word of precaution. Researchers aren't sure, but some evidence indicates that pomegranate juice may interact with several medications, much like grapefruit juice does. So especially if a person happens to be taking ACE inhibitors, statins, or blood pressure medications. And so for that reason, be sure to tell your doctor if you drink pomegranate juice. As part of a healthy diet, normal amounts of pomegranate juice, 4 to 6 ounces, are considered safe. And for other conditions, such as high cholesterol or prostate cancer, drinking 8 to 12 ounces of pomegranate juice per day is considered safe. However, if you have diarrhea, do not drink pomegranate juice or take pomegranate extract. Also, do not give pomegranate extract to a child without first talking to your doctor. Also, pregnant women should not take pomegranate extract because it may contain fruit rind. The juice, however, is considered safe, both for pregnant women and children. I would like to share a recipe with you. The recipe is called Holiday Pomegranate Compote. And this recipe calls for seeds from 2 medium pomegranates, about 1 to 1.5 cups of seeds. And then you mix in 1 tablespoon of finely chopped orange zest, 1 tablespoon of orange juice, and 1/2 tablespoon of grated fresh ginger, and 1 tablespoon of honey, and a pinch of salt. And this also makes for a wonderful topping on cheesecake. Pomegranate juice tastes great and refreshing and is loaded with nutrients. And you can also add pomegranate juice to apple cider, which will make this classic fall and winter beverage taste even better. And the recipe that I'm going to give you makes about 8 servings of spiced pomegranate apple cider. And what you do is you pour 6 cups of apple cider in a pan, and you add 6 cloves and 1 stick of cinnamon about 3 inches in length. And you heat everything just until it reaches a simmer. And then you remove the pan from the heat and let it steep, covered for an hour. And then you stir in 1.5 cups of pomegranate juice. And for each serving, you heat 3/4 cup of juice mixture. Just be careful not to boil it. And you stir in 3 tablespoons of rum to each cup, which is optional. And enjoy. Pomegranate seeds add a splash of color to salads as well. And I hope you will give this wonderful fruit a try while it is available. And you can find fresh pomegranate fruits as well as pomegranate juice and extract at the Whole Foods pantry at the Evergreen Cottage. So this wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. And if you have any questions or would like to make an appointment to improve your health with nutrition and herbal remedies, please give me a call at 365-2288 or visit my website at elywellness.com. Also, make sure to stop by to visit the Whole Foods pantry at the Evergreen Cottage, where you will find organic groceries, including grass-fed and natural meats, organic dairy products, and a variety of natural foods as well as organic fruits and vegetables. And if you happen to be in the Virginia area, make sure you visit the Natural Harvest Food Co-op. I also want to wish you and your family a happy and healthy new year, and I hope you will join me again next week right here on WELY for another edition of the Natural Health and Wellness Hour. Remember, let food be your medicine. Be well and take care.